B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, everybody, sit tight. Joining me, as he does every Wednesday right here on the Comcast Business Hotline. We love him. That's right. He, of course, is, don't forget, he's the best. ESPN, the whole thing. And you know that the Comcast Business Hotline beyond fast.
Comcast Business every day in business is a big play. A big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next.
I had to tell you about Comcast Business, but it wasn't on my sheet. So my good job there, Tunis. All right, let's get to him. He is the great Kevin the Gandhi. Hello, Kevin.
And how are we feeling? What is the pulse of our city? You would know more than anybody. How are we feeling entering tonight following a really bad Monday night?
We're supremely confident. We have shaken off. Yes. What do you mean, question mark? Are you serious? I mean, serious with this team. It took Joel to go 4-for-20 for them to be in it at the buzzer.
You think he's going to go 4-for-20 again? And I'm saying surprised because the feedback, and obviously Twitter's a terrible measuring stick, but the feedback was misery that I was gathering in the city. And I'm one of those guys who approaches it very similar to you, and that's why I think we always have a blast when I pop
on. That's right.
I look at it this way. The Sixers were horrendous in the fourth quarter. The starting five was not aggressive. I mean, Shake Milton had 8 points. The starting five had 8 points in the fourth quarter, and yet they still had a chance. And how about the play that Doc drew up perfectly for Joel to get the easy bucket? And the Hawks had to do everything in their power to survive. And yet, the vibe I got yesterday was it's the end of days, right? And I think it just comes back to a couple of things. We all know the talent of this team and what they can do. But when they're not aggressive and when they don't attack and when they don't play energetic basketball, it leads to five bad quarters. And that's why this series is tied up at 2 apiece.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I think I look at that fourth quarter. First of all, I mean, look, Joe's going to have a game. He's not going to be able to carry every game, right? He is. As much as I say he's a superhero, I do believe, obviously he's human. So, and he grabbed 21 boards. So I agree with you. Somebody's got to step up. But I think Doc has to do a better job at making sure that Tobias takes his looks. And, I think that they were a little bit more worried about who was going to take Danny Green's spacing spot in shooting the three. And I think they got to just put that out of their head. And, Tobias has to be your secondary scorer, and you got to allow him for mid-range, and you got to play defense. Look, and I also think they're up 18. You know that, brother. When you're up 18, Kev, they got a little complacent at that point.
No doubt. But in the fourth quarter, to stop attacking inside and settle for outside shots, and I'm glad Doc called them out. The hero ball, right? Like, there was no need for the hero ball. That is driving inside, getting easy buckets because they don't have an answer. And if Joel's not having a good night, and that's a natural thing, and that's okay, somebody else has to take the reins, like you brought up with Tobias. But also, and it's a reoccurring theme, Ben Simmons has to step up and be more aggressive. And he acknowledged that afterwards. What we saw in the third quarter of Game 3 was a different player where Doc was like, you need to drive and stay inside, right? And we didn't see that. And I think this team's got to recognize that, all right, it's not working for Joel. Somebody else has to take control. And that's the one thing that stood out in the fourth quarter. Also, one other thing. I like Furk. I think Furk's really, really good off the bench. He is a defensive liability at all times. And I thought that Shake should have been getting a lot more play and time in that second half when that lead was dwindling, because
I agree with your first part, but Shake is a horrible defender too.
He's
an Olay guy as well.
I agree, but Furk is it's 4 against 5.
I agree with you. First of all, I don't even think he should start. I would start Matisse and be done with it. Like, you start T's and you play D. That's who you are. See, sometimes I worry about Doc in that, you know, they get a little free happy. Look, the soul of your team, how you're going to win the chip is by playing defense. All right? You're going to get your offense through transition, through turnovers you're going to create from your defense. That's who you are.
And when you have, I agree with you, and when you have a guy like Matisse with the length, as well as the same length that what Ben Simmons has done with Trae Young, here's the key. Here's the difference here, because Simmons' lockdown on Trae Young is huge, but when you look at the assist numbers of Trae realizes he's not going to get an easy look, so he's got to actually dish the ball around. If you have that secondary defensive stopper in Matisse on the floor as well, you're not giving up those easy threes on the outside and building the confidence in Bogdanovich and Herter as well as Gallinari. That plays a huge role in the perimeter style, the way they play. So I'm with you. Matisse has to start or at least play the majority of the minutes because it is tough to watch the Ole basketball that we saw, you know, and I would have never thought losing Danny Green would have resulted into that.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. I also think, I don't know about you, but I know early in the series he didn't play well first game, but I would go back to Maxey. Give him a little more run, man. I like Maxey, man. I do. I was curious. I actually wanted to start him, not Furkan, last game and have him play next to Ben, and he could be your... You know, what they thought about Fultz as a secondary ball handler.
It's a great way to describe Maxey's energy, right? And the ball handling, he's one of those guys, the minute he comes in, it's like, buckle up, because he is playing at 100 miles per hour throughout, right? Maybe that's playing a role in why he's not getting as many more minutes. But there are certain times, listen, the Hawks can shoot from the outside. The Sixers' strength is inside play and driving to the basket, regardless of the situation. And if you don't have guys that are playing aggressive, put in the player that is always aggressive, and that is Maxey, right? So I'm with you on that concept that if you're noticing that these guys are kind of waiting and shooting from the outside, then bring in Maxey now to bring the energy and drive to the glass, because you know at least two or three times he's on the floor, he's going to find a way to at least drive and go off glass. And I'm with you on that concept that Maxey should get a little bit more run.
My man. So
brother, we're always in sync.
We really are. You know, it's amazing that you are, you know, you live in another city, in another town, and yet you are so plugged into us. It's amazing. You are. You know, the truth. I always tell this to people, that this region, this Delaware Valley thing, it stays with you. I remember when I was in New York and traveling all around. I was in Chicago, traveling all around. But I still had that thing. It was inside you. It never leaves you. If you're from here, part of you're born from the soil.
Bro, it never leaves. And regardless of where you're at and what you're doing, and, you know, I've stressed this many times. My kids are born in Connecticut. I'm going to make sure, and they know it. They wake up, they ask me about the Phillies, and they ask me about the Sixers, regardless. And if it's the Eagles, if it's the Flyers are playing, if it's Temple, they're always asking me because it's awesome. Got to be part of their DNA. It's who we are, and it's how we understand things. And that's why, like, you know, watching Mayor of Easttown, and I'm in studio and I'm talking to everybody. I was like, I know exactly where that location is and that location is. The Wawa jokes. Yeah. And I'm like, you guys don't understand. Like, it's just part of who we are and what we know. And that's it. And that's kind of how we're raised.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. Hey, what'd you make of Durant last night in Brooklyn? How about Milwaukee, too? They're lumpers, man. You know, they had that game
won. This is where I come, you know, I think these playoffs show you the difference, right? Where we have the NBA has a lot of star players, right? But there's a difference between a star player and a superstar player. The superstar player understands the moment. And KD understood the moment and said, we're not losing this game. And if we're going to lose, it's because I'm taking the shots regardless, right? And then you go back to the other side, and you have a little bit of some flashbacks here of what we saw from our squad on Monday to what you saw last night with the Bucks, right? The big lead, and then the moment steps up, who's going to take the shot? And I think there were certain moments that we've seen with Ben where he is hesitant to have the ball to take a shot late in games because he doesn't want to go to the free throw line. I saw the same thing with Giannis last night.
Yeah.
I could not believe there were a couple of, like, when you're clearing out and James Harden wants you one-on-one and Giannis is taking a fadeaway, that's telling me Giannis doesn't want to get fouled. He does not want to go to the free throw line. And that's exactly what I saw. The one thing that separates Giannis and Ben when it came to what we've seen in these playoffs, Ben wants the defensive challenge. I cannot believe that Giannis, the 2020 Defensive Player of the Year, first team this year, didn't just say, enough, I want that guy, me versus KD, let's go. And that's the one thing I appreciate about Ben Simmons. He wants the challenge on the defensive end, no matter what, day in and day out. We didn't see that from Giannis. And I'm still stunned in a game that they had to win that he didn't say, stop it. I don't care what we're doing. I'm not covering this corner three. I'm going to make sure I'm around KD the entire game because he's the best player right now on the planet.
Yeah, you're dead right, brother. Dead right. What are you doing for the game tonight?
Working, of course, and then coming back home, wearing my lucky shirt, starting a new streak, and having the kids watch the game with me.
That's beautiful. Kevin, do me a favor. Tell Tunis what to do.
Play the freaking song.
My man. The great Kevin Negandhi. ESPN. Yes. Look at him. Hey, come back. Let me see you. Hold on. Here they go. Come back to the screen. Come on, Miss Rhonda. Come on, Miss Rhonda. Join Miss Lindsay. Here you go.
76ers. Stomp your feet.
Everybody.
For Philadelphia. 76ers.
All right, we'll come back just a moment. Your chance to win still around. Don't forget. You hear the Mr. T sounder. You call. Pain, Judas Pain.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.